Hello, welcome to Because Nerd. It's the 30th day of October 2019 as we record this. Happy Halloween. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, joined once again by three of my best and oldest friends, Clint.
Hey, hey.
Brad.
Yo.
And Mike.
Hey, now.
All right, guys. I saw something funny, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it. I saw there's a fact about Green Arrow's chili, that he makes the absolute hottest chili in the entire DC universe.
That's an actual thing.
So that's a superpower?
Now, the part that I was confused about was they said that it even was so hot that it made Superman cough. But they said Batman didn't react.
Oh, my God.
Damn right he didn't react. It's because Batman's a badass.
Okay.
Because he's a motherfucking man.
Okay. I'm always prepared. This chili's not that hot.
So how does Superman not handle spicy food?
I was wondering that part, too. But, you know, maybe as being a Superman, maybe he's super sensitive. You know, the same way he can hear shit from like two cities over. It's his super sensitive taste.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, right? Because of Earth's yellow sun, Superman's powers are all amplified, right? So are all of his senses like amplified as well? So like he eats Hormel chili with like no spice and he's like, Jesus Christ! Oh my God! This shit is so fucking hot!
Think of his sense of smell, right? That's got to just drive him up the wall.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He smells farts in like three counties over.
What is Metropolis? I mean, that's, what do you think it smells like? I lived in New Orleans for a while, and oh my God, like there's no way Superman would ever get anywhere near that place if he has a super sense of smell.
He would literally have blasted it off the face of the earth by now if that shit was real.
See, this is the problem with Superman and Spice. He might be super strong. He might have laser eyes and all this other cool stuff, but he's beta as fuck, and Batman's a real man.
Oh, yeah. So, like, as part of his training with Ra's al Ghul, he was like, it is time for the last part of your training. Eat this bowl of chili. And he's like, what? I'm testing your senses, Batman. Eat this bowl of chili. Right.
He has also developed a reduced sensitivity to iodocaine powder.
Inconceivable.
I like the notion that there's a villain out there who's like a Hormel man, but like when he gets near Superman, like Superman can't take it.
His one weakness that nobody found out.
Oh, are you fucking serious? Superman can be pepper sprayed?
Yeah, you mace him, dude. That's it.
What about that fucking aura that keeps him from getting dirty and shit?
No, it doesn't apply to chili. Doesn't apply to chili at all. Yeah. Yep. Not even a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It goes right through it.
It totally tricks it. Yeah.
Just goes right through.
You know, this is weird. I don't really feel it when I poop most of the time, but Jesus Christ, this burns.
What happens with that super shit? Like, how much power is he pushing out when that thing releases? He's blowing that toilet down to the core of the earth, right?
He's got to have like one of those steel prison toilets, and he's like denting the fuck out of it in the bottom. Looks like somebody shot it with a shotgun.
Just blast a hole here.
Oh, yeah.
Superman's the DC version of shit break. He's got to go home every time he's got his shit.
Superman's one of those guys that like just a shy pooper. You can't do it in public, you know? So, like, every time that Superman has to take a shit, he just goes to Fortress of Solitude because he's like, I can't let anyone know about this.
Yeah, it's the only place in the world mighty enough to hold my shit.
What you really don't know is he's saving the world.
Yeah.
Oh, small victories.
So there has to be one time that he figures that out, right? He has to take that first shit to realize how dangerous it is. These guys start going there.
Dude, it's, oh yeah, man. Like if he went to Taco Tuesday at like some bar, you know, and it was like free drinks and tacos at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I'm picturing that first shit rocket going through the earth, and all of a sudden, like you're in China, and there's just a fucking shit storm comes flying up through the ground.
Literally in the sky.
Oh man, like cleaning those diapers must have been hell back in the day.
Right?
Oh, he just blew right through all of them. They eventually had to put like a, he just walked around with like a cooking pot, you know, to his butt.
Strapped to his ass.
Duct tape a frying pan to his butt.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just thought about something, man. Like if we were in the universe of the Boys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like Homelander is like flying around and he sees a bad guy, gets up about 30 feet above the bad guy and just,
he's like, bird attack.
Yep. I call this one my pigeon move.
You know, Highlander would do it too, because like he totally digs fucking with people, you know?
Homelander.
Homelander. Like, what did I say? Highlander.
Yeah, Homelander, not Highlander.
Totally different
guy. There can be only one.
Duncan MacLeod, he would get out there and shit on this.
Sean Connery loves shitting on people.
Oh, I've got to poop again. This is going to be fun. Look out.
This reminded me of, there was a whole thing about, like, could they have defeated Thanos by Ant-Man going down to micro size, climbing up his butt, and then just going big and exploding from the inside?
I mean, wouldn't Ant-Man would implode himself, right? Because he tried to go big. He couldn't get any bigger. So if he was pushing himself bigger, he'd end up being crushed.
Uh-huh.
So on Because Science, no relation to Because Nerd, they explored that notion. And they said, assuming that he's a Titan and it is kind of a super material, it would just be very uncomfortable for Ant-Man.
Right.
And then Thanos would shit him out.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Dude. You know, the Avengers are all sitting around. They're like, look, guys, this is our last chance to save the world. Ant-Man, you're going to have to do this. I'm sorry, buddy. He does it, but he dies because it kind of like can't grow it. And then Thanos is like, oh, man, I got to shit all of a sudden. This is weird. Ugh.
So the death sequence is like Thanos just, he just farts on the battlefield. He kind of looks down like, oh, shit, sharded.
All the Avengers are just like horrified by what happened, you know, because he just turned Ant-Man into a fucking turd.
You know, there's times when like you got to take a shit and like, you know, there's corn or something. It's like you look back at it just like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. Imagine Thanos just thought at that point when he's like,
what the fuck did I eat?
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, Green Arrow's chilly. Good talk.
Did you guys see Joker yet?
Damn, Joker's good. I saw the fuck out of Joker.
It's cool because it's totally different than any other comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as disturbing as everybody was like making it out to be, I didn't think.
Oh, well, you've seen some bad shit, Mike. You know, most people are not, you know, they're not as tainted. So.
Well, the other thing too, right? In the news, it's all like, well, this thing is so violent, it's going to promote violence and people are going to go out and be violent because they're going to be inspired by the movie. Is that just the movie studio putting that out?
I think it might have been hype.
They want to draw attention to it.
That's true about Because Nerd too. I mean, nobody should listen to this.
Yeah, it's bad for you. Yep.
Yeah, tell everybody you know about it. Don't listen to Because Nerd.
If you're listening to this right now, just stop and yeah, walk away while you still can. Yeah.
Just avoid it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The Joaquin Phoenix though, he for sure is fucking creepy in that movie. Which,
Jesus Christ, Mike. Joaquin, man.
I was like, could you say his name?
Joaquin Phoenix.
What did I say?
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix.
Johnny Phoenix.
Joaquin.
Johnny.
That is a hard one though. Imagine Joaquin Phoenix growing up and all through school.
Yep.
Every new year they're like, yes. Okay, Joaquin. Joaquin?
Yeah, the Key and Peele skit, the substitute teacher. How does he say his name?
Hey, Ron.
Joaquin.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Dude, so Joaquin's Joker, man. You watch that movie and, all right, this is how you create a fucking supervillain.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I took away from it.
Yeah, like as they went through his storyline, they did a great job setting it up. And like now what I'm stoked on, though, if they keep that version of Joker in the DC universe and now he becomes the crime kingpin, that's going to be an awesome movie. Now you got a picture. Is the next Batman really the vampire from Twilight?
I think he is, right?
Because that threw me off.
Look, that is not the pinnacle of his acting ability.
So from what I've heard about this new Batman, it actually sounds pretty good. I'm on board.
Yeah, I am too, for a good reason, right? Every Batman actor, when they come out, everybody's like, fuck, that's going to be a shitty Batman. They did it with fucking Keaton, and everybody knows George Clooney was the best Batman.
Yeah.
No, Val Kilmer was. Val Kilmer was the way better Batman.
Yeah, and Arnie was the best Mr. Freeze ever.
Well, Arnie was the only Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, that's true. This is true.
Chill out.
But right, I mean, everybody always says whoever is going to be the next Batman is going to suck, and everybody poo-poos it. So I say Pattinson gets a, you know,
gets a Pattinson.
He gets a Pattinson. Pattinson.
Dude, real quick, I just want to interject this because I just mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was watching an interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger yesterday with, like, I think it was Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, Arnold, so, you know, we heard a rumor, you know, for Terminator, the person that was supposed to get it over you was actually going to be O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, that's, he goes, no, that's true. That's totally right. And he goes, well, why did they go with you instead of him? And he was like, well, he auditioned and they basically told him that he didn't look like a ruthless killer enough. And I did. So I got the part.
Okay. Going back to what Brad was saying about like that one turn of events that could turn you into a superhero or a villain.
Yeah.
So just imagine if OJ would have got the Terminator role, it might have never happened, right? He might have became a hero.
You never know.
Right.
But that might have been the day that turned him into a supervillain.
But why does a Wookiee live on a planet with a bunch of Ewoks? It did not make sense. You must have quit. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Clint is going to once again welcome us to the wondrous world of Killing Batman. Ah!
Okay, so it's been a long time, but we're back. We are going to do our Killing Batman, and we're talking about the Haunted Tank.
Hell yeah.
And it's probably not what you think, but I'm going to read you a little background here on Haunted Tank. Haunted Tank was basically, there was a racist, I mean a Confederate general named James Ewell Brown Stewart. Now, a little bit of background, he's a real guy. He was James Ewell Brown. He was a United States Army officer from Virginia who became a Confederate States Army general during the Civil War. Due to the initials of his given names, he was known to his friends as Jeb and that racist white asshole to everybody else.
Wow.
The actual James Ewell Brown was a cavalry commander known for his mastery of reconnaissance and the use of cavalry in support of offensive operations. This is straight from Wikipedia, by the way.
So you know it's true.
He looked like a real asshole with his cultivated cavalier image. He wore a red-lined gray cape, yellow sash, hat cocked to the side with an ostrich plume, a red flower in his lapel, often sporting cologne. And
was he a pimp?
Is that where pimp style came from? That's where it started?
And most likely constantly talking about how bitches better have his money.
So basically Dolomite is the descendant of a racist tank?
General Dolomite. I'm going to go way out on a limb and say that wasn't up to you.
So basically they're like, he was a master of reconnaissance, but he looked like Dolomite on the fucking battlefield, so he couldn't sneak up on anybody.
And he's reeking of cologne. Like, I imagine he's like the predecessor of like Axe Body Spray Bros. Like, I just see him, like, can't you just see the enemy or like sitting there being like, what is that smell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like... Hold on.
Man, is that Obsession for Men? I mean, that's a very sweet smell that I got here.
You know what this reminds me of? That Jebediah asshole was with all his fucking hose and shit like that. It smells just like that. I mean, I think it's coming from behind this tree over here. Let's check this shit out.
Well, here's the thing. He was a master of reconnaissance, right? Which with what he wore. We all know that's not true. No,
the thing was, it's a very specific style of reconnaissance. You can't use it a lot, you know, but...
Very specific situations. They throw old Jeb in there every now and then.
Jeb, we got a war for you. It's on a peacock farm.
You got this.
This one's right up your alley, buddy.
All right, Jeb, we're going to get you. We got to get you in there undercover, buddy. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to go into that house right there, and you're going to collect all the money from all the women that are working in there, right?
Look, hey, Jeb, here's your standard issue cologne and feather hat. Now put on a scarf and a velvet jacket and get your ass in there right now.
Wait a minute. Listen, now here's your Obsession for Men. Get on your gray cape with the red lined and don't forget your cane.
Just get in there and fucking...
Get in there and get the job done, Jeb. You know what's funny is that reading through all of this stuff for the Haunted Tank, he's sent by the spirit of Alexander the Great to act as a guardian over his two namesakes, Lieutenant Jeb Stuart and Jeb Stuart's M3 tank, which is a fucking tank, so I don't know how it could be a namesake.
Like one does with tanks.
Yeah, because Alexander the Great, you know, when he had sex with a tank back in the day in Rome, that tank kept reproducing, apparently.
Long line of tradition in that tank family.
It's a proud family.
It's an heirloom, you know?
I've decided that I want you guys to refer to me as Mike the Great on all podcasts going forward.
That's just a super D-bag move, man. I mean, you just can't.
Oh, my God. So there's a point in the comics. I'm just going to read this little excerpt here. First off, the tank gets blown up, and they have to rebuild the tank on the battlefield from parts from other tanks.
And so now it has like four ghosts in it because each tank has its own.
All the tanks have their own ghosts, and they're constantly bickering.
Yeah. Everybody's just yelling in their own language.
The most confused, possessed tank of all time.
Well, this is what got me. Imagine this. Ghost goes back, possesses the tank where his great-great-great-grandson is or whatever. He gets there. He hates him. He immediately hates the entire crew that's in the tank. He's like, what kind of ragtag pussy union group is this? He's kind of just pissed that he has to be there. But no one else in the tank can see the ghost. So the whole time, they think he's just crazy.
I can say, he's got imaginary friends. So he's delusional.
Just talking to nothing, talking to the tank. And they're like, guys, I think Jeb lost his fucking mind. He's over there talking to the tank.
This is like an Apocalypse Now thing. They're like, I think he's slipping away.
Guys, he's seen too much warfare, guys.
He lost his mind, but that tactical brilliance.
Right.
I don't know how he knows his things. It's like...
I just thought that was funny. The first thing you said, it was like he's noted for like his genius use of cavalry or something.
He was a master of using cavalry support because, well, he couldn't sneak around, so he just had to learn how to fucking blow shit up. Dude, hold on, wait a minute. I just had an idea. So it's World War II, and Jeb shows up to the tank. Remember now, he was a Confederate soldier. So he gets there to World War II, and he's like, all right, guys, the tank's talking to me. It's my grandfather, Jeb. He's very tactical using cavalry. So what he's telling us to do is
line up in a row.
Line up in a row. And they're like, what, dude?
Are you fucking sure?
No, really, really. I swear to God.
They've got tigers and anti-tank mortars.
We're going to take one shot at them, and then we're going to allow them to take one shot back at us. Then we're going to take one shot at them, and we're going to allow them to take another shot back
dude,
at us.
Dude, it's fucking brilliant, right?
He says it's a foolproof plan. He says it's foolproof.
Look.
And then some soldier catches on and goes, wait a minute. Did you say your uncle was in the Confederate Army? He's like, yeah. He was great.
Yeah, right.
Wait, yeah. Motherfucker. The Confederate Army lost.
Wait a minute.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what's funny? Just a couple things, you know, before we get to Batman, actually, is he's a Confederate soldier, right? So the ghost of a Confederate soldier gets sent back by Alexander the Great to inhabit this tank. But he was impressed with the fighting spirit of the guys that were in the tank. So he honors the ghost by flying a Confederate flag rather than a Union flag. And so I can imagine, they're like, you guys, we got enemy coming in from over here, enemy coming in from over there. And then all of a sudden there's a redneck sitting next to him. And he's like, hey, man, I'm your great, 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 great uncle. This is a cool tank, right?
It's a cool tank.
Can I put a Confederate flag here? The enemy is behind this mountain. And all they hear is, turn it up. Dude, the world would lose their shit right now if you turned any news channel right now and they're like, we go live now to Syria. Our tank battalion is going in, and is that a fucking Confederate flag on that tank?
I just see him like bumping across sand dunes and shit like that. He's like, woohoo!
It's like a redneck version of the freaking Flight of the Valkyrie scene from Apocalypse Now.
Right, exactly.
Right. You hear him honking the General Lee horn.
Yeah.
And before it's too late, they blow them all up.
I mean, this sounds horrible in one way, but for some reason, you've got me intrigued. Like,
yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to inject Batman in here too soon if we're not done with the setup, but like the way that we've got him pegged for being out in the desert, like going after ISIS, it starts to remind me of like Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
Whatever that weird scene was where Batman's like in the desert. Mm-hmm. Like I see the haunted tank. He's got wind of it. He's like, Batman's been spotted in the Mideast, and he's like going after him.
Like, Jeb, got a job for you.
All right, Jeb.
Jeb, the bat's in the desert.
Send in Jeb.
We need your covert skills of reconnaissance to go in. All right, I'm going to ride a tank in there. Okay, sounds good, man. We trust you.
All right, man. All right, step one, get on my outfit. Step two, get in my tank, fly that flag. Step three, go up to Batman. Well, one more thing here before we'll get on and we can riff on how he's going to kill Batman. But I thought this was pretty funny, right? So all this stuff, you know, clearly he's going to be a racist, right? Because you fought for the Confederate Army. It's just known you're a fucking racist. Okay, hold on. Let me find it. Okay, so check this out. So in the comics, there was a mission. It says, following a disastrous mission engineered to rescue the son of their commanding officer, General Norton, from a German POW camp, the crew of the haunted tank find themselves stranded behind enemy lines and spend several days fighting their way back to the front. During this, they pick up Gus Gray, an African-American soldier who had escaped from the same POW camp. No, dude. Okay. What was Cocaine Jim thinking about when they were like, all right, we got a haunted racist tank. Let's mix it up here.
Jesus Christ.
He was on a bender on that one, man. He was awake for a lot of days.
Yeah, dude. They're like,
he just got done doing like an entire pound of powder out of a girl's asshole. And then he came to shoot ideas off in the comic studio.
Man, I hadn't been to sleep in like 3 weeks. I've got some ideas. Here we go.
It's so funny. It's like, basically, like, you see Cocaine Jim walk into the room, and he's like, all right, guys, I finished the new script for the new comic. Here we go. There's going to be a black guy writing in there. They go, listen, Jim, we can't put that in the fucking comic, man. He's like, well, just, it'll be funny. It'll be like, you know, back
witty,
and forth.
Witty banter.
You know,
witty banter.
Racist witty jokes. Banter. And they're like, no, man. No.
It doesn't work that way, man. It does not work that way.
Right. Oh, my God.
So tell me something. What was the deal about Nazis in Texas? How did that fit into this again?
Oh, yeah. Okay. In number 46 and 47 of The Demon, the crew and the demon retrieved the tank from a military warehouse and it's restored via magic.
Mm.
Wow. They worked together to stop demonic Nazis that are rampaging through Texas. All the enemy forces are destroyed, and the tank is left covered in the desert sands. The Honda Tank and its original crew also appear in 1999 Supernatural Day of Judgment crossover in Anarchy. In this issue, they fight demonic forces in the form of historical entities who wish to overthrow the president. Wow. The story ends before the battle does.
So, like, Lex Luthor was president, right?
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, so they're in Texas. Am I reading that right? That they put together the tank again. There's demonic Nazis running all over the place. And other bad guys now come back in ghostly form?
Yeah, they got other demonic forces in the form of historical entities who wish to overthrow the president.
Because that's the most important.
Exactly.
We brought back Genghis Khan, Napoleon, and all the bad guys from the past.
Exactly, right?
Oh, my God. Okay. This is too much. Well, here's the thing, though, is like with the haunted tank. So Jeb Stuart's a racist, right? So if they're like, all right, Jeb, we put the tank back together. We got to get out there in Texas and we got to kill these Nazi assholes. And he's like, wait a minute. What is a Nazi per se? And he's like, well, Nazis are guys that. OK, why are we killing these guys again? Damn it, Jeb. That's not. No, we're not going to do that.
So they resurrect him to fight demon Nazis, and then next thing you know, he pulls a switcheroo, and so now demonic Nazi forces and haunted tank have teamed up.
Now he's a demon Nazi.
Hey, listen to this. So in television, the haunted tank appears in the Batman: The Brave and the Bold episode.
Oh, Menace, I love that show.
Madnix. However, only the ghost of General Jeb Stuart is starring as the driver and the gunner of the M3 tank. He helps Batman fight Mom Murder and her gang. The sequence is also a parody of the Dukes of Hazzard while the tank leaps over a bridge while playing a Dixie horn.
I think I remember that episode.
What? Dude, I got to look that up. That is awesome.
That show is hilarious.
Batman the Brave and the Bold?
Yeah, Batman the Brave and the Bold was amazing. It was just fucking epic. It was great, man.
So that's pretty much it, right? That's the background on the Haunted Tank, one of the dumbest fucking characters I've read so far.
I love it, man. I think it's awesome.
So basically, and so it goes on to say that everything happens. The war is won. The Jigsaw tank that they had to piece together eventually gets replaced by an M4 Sherman tank that sees them to the end of the war. Commander Stewart's ghost continues to watch over the crew until the end of the war, and then I have no idea what happens to him after that.
So it's in an impound yard somewhere. Like, you know,
exactly.
It's like it's off on some, you know, some military motor pool lot.
Like boneyard. Exactly. So I don't think they ever gave a proper end to it. So like that's where I was going with it, Chris, is like, all right, guys, war's over. No need for these tanks anymore. We're going to put them in storage. And then you fast forward like 75 years, right? And so it's just been sitting in an old like boneyard for tanks for a while. And Batman goes to like Lucius Fox and he's like, Lucius, I'm building a new Batmobile. I was thinking about getting a tank. So Lucius Fox is like, okay. So he has to get a trailer. He trailers it back to Batman's secret hideout lair.
Once he gets into the Batcave, he like takes over the Bat computer.
Oh my God, that would be awesome if he brought Jeb into the Batcave and it like transferred its intelligence, mm-hmm. you know, the ghost into Batman's computers, and then it took over the world with Wayne Enterprises computers, kind of like Skynet did, you know, or like in the Matrix. And so like now Wayne Enterprises is just all ran by Ghost Tank. And then you could say Batman dies anyway. Like, I like the idea of Ghost Tank like thwarts him at every turn.
Right.
You know what's funny too is like the reason Batman always wins, the cop out is that he's the world's best detective. He's always one step ahead of everybody else. So they're like, you know, you expect him to have everything planned out, but he just doesn't.
A series of tweets from the Batman Twitter account have come out with extremely incendiary racist language.
News today from Wayne Enterprises. Their stock prices fell due to a controversial tweet that says, right. Hello, I am Batman. My name is really Bruce Wayne, and I hate black people.
Oh, shit. So Jeb as a tank, he's been sitting in a boneyard or whatever, but 1980s lightning strike event happens and all of a sudden resurrects it. And so it's like, oh, sweet. Okay. Like, I'm fucking back out here in the world again. I'm gonna go see what's going on right now. And like, it just kind of rolls out. Next thing you know, it like shows up in town and it just sees that we're a non-segregated multicultural society that is fully accepting, and it just freaks the fuck out. And like, it just goes on a tank rampage at this point and just starts like bowling shit over. And so the Justice League is called in. So Cyborg, Green Lantern, John Stewart, Steel probably comes along. I don't know, Firestorm and Black Lightning. So Jeb is just so furious that Batman is working with a multi-ethnic group of superheroes. So he possesses him and then just starts insulting them.
Dude, oh my God, that's how he kills Batman. That's how he kills Batman. All right, so they're in Texas, right? You got all the Nazi bad guys running around Texas. All the black superheroes in DC Universe show up, you know, all the guys you just named or whatever. Like, Batman dies by getting pummeled to death by, like, all the other black superheroes because he just kept saying racist slurs.
Okay, let's redo this episode.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
They're like, Batman, if you don't cut the fuck out, like, we're going to fucking finish this for you. He's like, well, just hit me in the mouth then. I mean, what? It's not like it's not available. Come on.
Come on, you do it, pussy. Yeah, we're going to have to redo this. I think that is the best way, though.
Oh, Lord. So I've got an ending, which is about as fitting as any Batman ending that we've done before. So,
oh, shit.
Batman shows up and he's like, Alfred, who's driving this thing? What the hell's going on? And he's like, there's no life sign inside it, Master Wayne. I don't know what this is. You're going to have to investigate it further. And like, Batman goes and tries to like check it over. You know, Batman's more agile than a tank. I'll give him that. So like, he's in here trying to like climb up and mount on the tank so he can get inside it and figure out what the hell's going on, how to stop it. But the tank's all locked up. And so he's like trying to plant an explosive or some kind of shit. But for some reason, Batman wears a cape the whole time. Like, it just gets caught up in the treads and all of a sudden it just pulls him in. The tank just runs him over. And that's it.
That's it.
It's just done. Yeah. It's just done. Because, like, if Batman got run over by a tank, he would surely be dead. So he's just a dude, and he's dead.
He's trying to run away, but his cape's just stretching. Just pulls him back into it.
Yeah, he's like, gotta get into this tank. Gotta get this open. Wait a minute, who's tugging on my cape? Oh, my God. I don't know what's going on. I can't get free. It's pulling me under slowly. Oh, my God. Oh, and he's dead. Just. Man. Well, we didn't even get into the power company. I wanted to talk about the power company. And, like, it was just so dumb that it was funny to me.
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.